Since we are coming into the week of Thanksgiving, I want to challenge us, hopefully challenge you this morning with a message that's going to encourage you to look at the difference between giving thanks and being thankful. First thing I do every morning is not necessarily something spiritual. My first act in the morning is to make a pot of coffee. Now, I don't think there's anything unspiritual about that, but... And every Tuesday morning, before I can make the pot of coffee, I have to scoot this note aside and get it out of the way. It is a note my wife has put there the evening before that says, "Trash out." Now, why does Donna do that? Because she knows that without the reminder, the trash won't go out. And the note is there because by nature, all right, because of who she is, she's an organized person who remembers things. And the note is there because by nature, I'm not. Now, why am I putting this as a part of introduction to a message on Thanksgiving? Well, because some of us are going to look at our calendars, or we already have looked at our calendars, and we are going to see that this Thursday is Thanksgiving. And some of us probably really needed the reminder so that we would not forget to give thanks. Too many people give thanks too much of the time in response to a reminder. In fact, we're trained from very early in life to give thanks in response to a reminder, aren't we? Parents train their children that when somebody does something nice for their children, what do they tell their children? You need to say thank you. Well, that date on the calendar, this holiday on the calendar, this Thursday, is society's way of saying, of reminding us, you need to say thank you. But some of us don't need a reminder. Some of you don't need a reminder because you are by nature thankful people. So which one are you? Are you the person that has to be reminded that it's time to give thanks, or are you the person whose life reveals that by nature you are a thankful person? The objective of the holiday this week is the giving of thanks, but one of the objectives of the Christian's life is to become a genuinely thankful person. And I know that you understand the difference. And I think that at the heart of the difference is what it means to truly be a Christian. You see, giving thanks is something that we do. Being thankful is important, an important part of who we are. One is about doing, the other is about being or becoming. And folks, if our Christian life is reduced to only our doing certain things, we miss the point. The Christian life isn't about just doing certain things. If we make the Christian life about doing certain things, folks, we become great Pharisees, but lousy Christians. The Christian life is about becoming something. It's about being something. It's about being conformed to the image of Jesus Christ, or becoming like Him. It's about becoming the full manifestation of the new creature which we become when the Holy Spirit comes to invade our lives and live within us at the time we place our faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Because the indwelling Holy Spirit won't simply change what we do. He will change who we are. And if who we are changes, What else changes? What we do, right? If we are a thankful people, we don't need a reminder to be thankful. Thanksgiving will be a way of life. Thanksgiving will be what characterizes our being. And our being a thankful person will show up in the giving of thanks. So why is it important that we understand to become that becoming a thankful person is more important than just giving thanks in response to a reminder? It's important because the only way we will ever become obedient to God in this area of thanksgiving is if we are truly transformed into a thankful being. All right? The bar in the New Testament is set so high in regards to the giving of thanks that none of us can succeed at that. None of us can measure up to the standard simply by being someone who occasionally gives thanks. Unless we are authentically thankful Christians, we cannot obey the will of God regarding the giving of thanks. It's like trying to win the Olympic pole vault event with a yard rake as the pole. It just isn't going to happen. And there are some extremely challenging marching orders in the New Testament regarding the giving of thanks. And I've preached on this before around Thanksgiving, but I'm just going to use this now as a part of the introduction and preface the importance of becoming a thankful person. And if you want to look at your Bible in 1 Thessalonians 5 in verse 18, you might even not have to turn there. You might be able to tell me what it says. It says what? In everything we do what? Give thanks. Let that sink in for just a moment. And we realize pretty quickly how high the bar is set, because in everything, to give thanks in everything means that no matter what comes our way, we are to give thanks. In everything, give thanks. And it's a clear imperative. It's a present tense verb indicating that this is continuous action happening at the present time. It's in the imperative mood, which was the mood of command or volition. It's an active voice verb, meaning that the subject of the sentence produces the action of the verb. We are to be thankful people. And if we are not a thankful being, then we won't give thanks in everything. We'll only give thanks for the things that are good in our perception, or the things that are comfortable, or the things that make us happy. Many well-meaning people, including preachers, like to look at that verse and say, well, God's Word says that we are to be thankful in everything, but nowhere does it tell us to be thankful for everything. And when they say that, they are wrong. Because the other verse I would challenge you to look at today with me in this part of the message is Ephesians 5:20. Because in Ephesians 5:20, Paul wrote that we ought to, quote, always, we ought to be always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father. And here again is a clear, it's a participle, but it's an active, it's present tense, active voice participle, meaning it's an imperative command. Unless we are thankful beings, we will not be always giving thanks for all things. We'll occasionally give thanks for good things, for comfortable things and easy things, but never for the uncomfortable, the difficult, or the challenging things. I mean, we'd have to be off of our rocker to thank God for a brain cancer diagnosis, right? But we're told to give thanks in everything, for everything. And we're given that instruction by an infinitely wise God. So only a truly thankful Christian will always be giving thanks in all things and for all things. And this will only happen if being thankful is at the core of his being. If it's not something he or she simply does, it defines who he or she is. So this might sound a little strange, but I want us to think about the thankful Christian today in terms of an onion. I don't know that in 35 years of preaching I've ever used an onion for an illustration, but it's perfect for this. And by the way, don't forget the onions when you're making your stuffing for Thursday. They're great. But I want to use the onion because the onion has, you've seen this, it has multiple layers, right? And I want us to peel back the various layers of a thankful Christian today. And there are some things about a thankful Christian that are obvious on the outside, but there are some things about a thankful Christian that if one is truly a thankful being, lies deep at the heart, only at the center of that thankful being. And we have to expose what those are and understand what those things at the center are and see if, and we likewise probably need to cut ourselves open and look in ourselves and see if these things are truly present within us. Because let's be honest, my friends, it's fairly easy to mimic the things that thankful Christians do, right? We can do them, those things that are on the surface, but we can't become the truly thankful Christian unless the necessary components are present deep within. So let's begin with the surface layer, the outside. What do we see on the outside of the thankful Christian? Well, we see and we hear those outward expressions of thanksgiving. The thankful Christian gives thanks verbally to God. The Apostle Paul himself is an example of one who I believe manifests everything that a truly thankful being ought to be. And the one thing that you see from him, because he was truly a thankful being, you're constantly seeing expressions of thanksgiving coming out of him, on the surface. It's there. And here are some examples, and I want you to just, you can look at these or you can listen to these. In Romans chapter 1 and verse 8, Paul said, First I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, because your faith is being proclaimed throughout the whole world. The giving of thanks was first for Paul. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 4, he said, I thank my God always concerning you for the grace of God which was given you in Christ Jesus. In Ephesians 1 verse 15, he says, for this reason too, having heard of the faith of the Lord Jesus, which exists among you, and your love for all the saints, do not cease giving thanks. So it was first, it was always, and it did not cease. In Philippians chapter 1, verse 3, the book we're studying, he says, I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always offering prayer for you all in view of your participation in the gospel from the first day until now. The giving of thanks was simply prompted by remembering someone, and not just some of them, but all of them. So if we're truly a thankful being, then thankfulness will be some of the first stuff that comes out of our mouths. I think it'll always be coming out of our mouths. It won't be ceasing coming out of our mouths, and it will be for all the blessings, the perceived blessings and the things that others might not perceive as blessings that come into our lives. So that's the surface level, the expressions. Just below the surface The next is kind of surface, but it's, I think, praise will be there. Genuine heartfelt praise comes from the one who truly worships God. And so often in the Bible, when you find the instructions to give thanks, you find the accompanying the thanksgiving expressions of praise. And that's what's so prominent and prevalent in the Psalms. And that's why we read Psalm 111 for our call to worship this morning. The Psalms are the praise book of the Bible, the song book of the Bible. And there are so many expressions of thanksgiving there. And thankful people want to express praise to the one from whom all these things come. We should all praise God for the common grace. There's a reason that the vast majority of Americans can sit down to a heap of food this Thanksgiving. The common grace of God is reason enough to give God thanksgiving, but those of us who are followers of Christ, believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, can also praise God for that effectual grace that brought us the greatest gift of all, the gift of salvation. And we should praise God, the God of our salvation. And if the praise isn't flowing from our lips, there's something desperately wrong in our hearts. As we go another layer deeper into the thankful Christian, I think the next thing that we'll find is that the truly thankful Christian is also generous. Generous. And they're truly thankful Christians are generous because they are faithful stewards of the resources with which they've been entrusted. That's their perspective on what they have. They know it doesn't belong to them. They know that everything they have has been given to them by their loving and benevolent Heavenly Father. We receive from Him earthly treasures that are entrusted to us. And we are to be faithful stewards of those things that are entrusted to us. And even if you would make the claim, well, I've worked hard for what I have, thank God, because He's the one that gave you the ability to do that job, gave you that job, and the strength to get up and go and do it every day. He still deserves the credit. James 1:17. Every good thing, right? And every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shifting shadow. Paul told Timothy in 1 Timothy 6, instruct those who are rich in this present world not to be conceited or to fix their hope on the uncertainty of riches, but on God, who richly supplies us with all things to enjoy. Folks, who gives it all to us? No, regardless of how we get it, it comes to us from the hand of God. And thankful people are generous givers. Now, there are some who give who might not necessarily be thankful, because some give from wrong motives and they're giving so that they receive something in return. And that's why Jesus used some hyperbole and says that when you're giving your alms, you don't even let your one hand know what the other hand's doing. I can't remember which one comes right first, the right or the left. But the point there is that's an impossibility, isn't it? The same brain controls both hands. So how do you do something with one hand the other hand doesn't know about? But that stresses the importance of not doing it to be recognized or for anything in return. So as we dig further into, we peel away the layers of this onion of the thankful Christian, we've got expressions of thanksgiving, we've got praise, we've got generosity, and we've only got two more layers, a small onion. We've only got two more layers to look at, but they're the most important, the most critical components, most critical elements in the life of a thankful Christian. And laying right up next, we find next, contentment. Contentment. A truly thankful person will not be a truly thankful person unless at the core of their being they are characterized by contentment. And why would I say contentment lies right next to generosity? Well, because Paul reveals for us the way that contentment manifests itself in Philippians 4. If you want to look at Philippians 4, 11 and 12, Paul says, I've learned to be content in whatever circumstances I am. I know how to get along with humble means, and I also know how to live in prosperity. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of being filled and going hungry, both of having abundance and suffering need. Now, I'm going to tell you, Paul is not defining contentment here, but he is telling us what it looks like, how it manifests itself. And he tells us that the amount the contented person has is irrelevant. The amount is irrelevant. The contented person is contented if there's a bunch of money in his pocket or his pockets are turned completely inside out. If there's nothing or a little bit or a whole lot, the contented person remains in a state of peaceful satisfaction. So why must this be true of a generous person? It's because if the person who appears to be generous isn't satisfied with what's left after they give, they won't be generous, right? So generosity and contentment lay next to one another in this picture that we're painting. The content, or the ones who are truly content, are the only ones who will give and let go. But real contentment goes far beyond being satisfied with what we have, doesn't it? Biblical contentment is being satisfied in any and every circumstance. Here's the definition of contentment offered by Jeremiah Burroughs. Christian contentment is that sweet, inward, quiet, gracious frame of spirit which freely submits to and delights in God's wise and fatherly disposal in every situation. Now you got to think about this. You got to engage with me just a little bit. What does it mean to have a sweet, inward, quiet, gracious frame of spirit? Well, that means that we are undisturbed by even the worst of circumstances. This means, and here's why I say contentment is so critically, must be at the core of the truly thankful person. Because the opposite of being contented is to be discontented, right? And what are the manifestations of discontentment? Well, grumbling, complaining, dissatisfied, disappointed by things that happen to us, discouraged when things don't go our way. We get depressed when we don't like the way things are going. These are various manifestations of discontent. But if contentment was simply the absence of discontent, it'd still be a challenge for us. But the contented person maintains that quiet, that sweet, inward, quiet, gracious frame of spirit. But then Burroughs explains, and Paul exemplifies something more. Contentment is not just a sweet, inward, quiet, gracious frame of spirit. It is all this, and it, quote, freely submits to and delights in God's wise and fatherly disposal in every condition. So to be content is more than just to not be disturbed. It's to freely submit to and delight in God's wise and fatherly disposal in every condition. To be content is to freely submit to whatever God ordains for our path. Not submit to it, not just to submit to it, but to delight in it, knowing that God's wisdom as our Heavenly Father is infinitely perfect, no matter what the condition is that He ordains for us. Folks, that's tough. And I think now we can see why contentment must be at the core of our being if we're truly thankful. Because it is only as we are genuinely content in the way that we've just defined it. It is only if we are genuinely content that we will ever be able to give thanks to God in all things and for all things, regardless of what those things are. It's a challenge. And I think that's the reason Burroughs entitled his book, The Rare Jewel of Christian Contentment. And there's one more that has to... Sometimes when I cut up an onion and I get down to the heart of it, that little heart it's kind of a tear-shaped heart, right? And sometimes that heart just kind of splits right in two, doesn't it? It's just naturally segmented right in the middle and it comes in two parts. Well, I think that's kind of how we have to look at this onion. Because right in here next to, and maybe even just a little more important than contentment, is this next element that I'll say is humility. Humility has to be at the core, at the heart of a truly thankful Christian. You see, this surface stuff is easily manufactured. It's easy to say the words that express thanksgiving. It's a little tougher, but still possible to praise the giver of our good gifts. And generosity isn't necessarily easy to manufacture, but it's at least easy to give the appearance of reality. But contentment, this kind of contentment that we've just looked at, is not something we easily muster up. And our reactions to our circumstances, usually because they hit us somewhat unexpectedly, these show the truth about whether or not we're really content. And this last issue of humility is no different. It is not manufactured. It's not faked, easily faked, because it's produced by the Holy Spirit in the life of the true child of God. And at the core, at the truly thankful Christian's core, supplying the strength for every characteristic of the thankful Christian is humility. And why do I say that humility is at the core? Well, Andrew Murray helped me understand this about humility. He wrote the book, Humility, The Beauty of Holiness, that has had a profound impact on my life. But he says that humility is the soil from which every other Christian virtue sprouts and grows. And he's right. You owe it to yourself to read that book over and over and over again. Humility, The Beauty of Holiness by Andrew Murray. Humility is the necessary prerequisite to contentment. Humility will give rise to generosity. God-honoring praise always comes from the humble worshiper. And if our outward expressions of thanksgiving are authentic, they are coming from a humble heart who recognizes that everything we have we didn't deserve. God has blessed us with it. You see, humility is the condition of entire dependence on God. And unless we are entirely dependent upon Him and trusting that He always knows what He's doing no matter what's coming to our lives, we will never have that quiet, inward calm of spirit that submits, freely submits to and really praises God in the middle of the bad stuff. Stuff we think's bad anyway. The only way to give thanks for all things and in all things is if we are living a humble, entire dependence upon God. It's from that place and that place alone that we know without a doubt that God's working all things together for good. It is from that place that we humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God and yield to Him in perfect resignation and dependence, fully consenting to do nothing from selfish motives. And the reason that's so valuable to us is because that is the place into which the wellspring of sufficient grace flows. That's how we learn what it is to walk in the sufficiency of God's grace. And it is when we are immersed in the well of the sufficiency of God's grace, that's where true and authentic thanksgiving flows from us. And we're blessed because the next section of Philippians that we're going to go through is going to teach us about humility. And it's going to be good for us. So, thanksgiving. Is it something we do? Or is it who we are? Is our giving of thanks going to be a surface, manufactured response to a reminder on the calendar? Or is it going to be the outflow of what's at the core of our being? I hope you'll accept the challenge to peel back the layers of your own being. And when you get to the core, be honest about what you find. Do you find somebody who is content and humble? I'm afraid I don't see enough of that at the core of my being. I'm just being honest with you. So here's what I'll do for you. I'm guessing if you were honest, you might admit that too. I'll pray for you, and you pray for me that as we journey through the next chapter of Philippians, we will pray that God's work would not be complete until we are humble at the core, content in our being, generous in our giving, praise-filled, and continually expressing thankfulness to God and others. Let's pray. Father, we want to be thankful people. We don't want to just give thanks in response to a reminder. We want thankfulness to characterize who we are because we've been so richly blessed. God, I pray you'd use the truth of your word to examine the reality of what lies deep within each and every one of us. And I pray that you would be glorified in the way we respond to you and your truth today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, some of you are very likely lacking what it takes to be a thankful being because you're lacking, you're not at the starting point. It starts as you come into a relationship with Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. If that's the need in your life, then you don't need to leave here. You need to be thankful that there's somebody here that'll show you how to enter into that relationship with Jesus Christ. So come and see me before you leave, or somebody.